So believing is light. Believing is light. And it is in the atmosphere of light that God creates. Isn't it funny to think about in the New Testament, the healing that perpetuates itself over and over again is not just men's sickle palsy nor just 10 lepers, but the one that repeats itself over and over again is the healing of blindness. And every time God heals a man from blindness, is he not saying, let there be light? And over again, just like the Father did in creation, the Son does in redemption, he says, let there be light. And that light illuminated first the physical eyes. But could it be possible that the healing of the physical eyes is just a simulation of the healing of the spiritual eyes? Let's go deeper. We have two sets of senses. All believers do. We have our eyes, our ear, our mouth, our smell, our touch, all of those natural senses that work in us as human beings. But we have a second set of senses that are not physically induced. They are our spiritual senses. And our spiritual senses are very important. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. The most graphic display I see of the eyes of your understanding being enlightened happened to the writer himself when he was on the road to Damascus. He lost his eyesight, but he gained his, he gained his insight. There are plenty of people in the room who have great eyesight. But there's a difference between having great eyesight and having great insight. These old eyes are growing dim. That's why I have these big apparatus on my eyes. Because I turned 40 and my Bible started shrinking. That's what I thought happened at first, and then I broke down and accepted the fact that no, my eyes are getting dim. But though my outer eyes are getting dim, oh baby, my inner eyes are keener than they have ever been in all of my life. For the entrance of thy word, the Bible said, giveth light. The entrance of thy word giveth light is not talking about sunshine. It means the more word I get in, the more enlightened I become. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The entrance of thy word giveth light. So if the enemy could do anything to stop you from hearing, he would do it, because if you get it in your ear, it comes out through your inner ear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when we look at Jesus, Jesus has come to bring light. Because in him was light, and there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all in Jesus. Jesus has so much light that the sun will lose its job in heaven. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the face of Jesus will light up the world. Can you imagine a face that would blacken the sun? That's what glory looks like. That's why glory beams were shooting out of the face of Moses, and they had to veil his face, because carnal people can't stand. Great light. Some of you are hated because you are great. Yeah. I told you evil men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And every time you come in the office, you come in there with them bright lights on. And that's why you get on their nerves, because they don't like to see that kind of light, because they don't love light, they love darkness. I thought the light people would shout me down right now. You've changed your hair, you've changed your clothes, you've changed your makeup, you've changed your dress, and they still don't like it. You don't understand. It's not what you got on you, it's what you got in you that gets on their nerves. Jesus came to bring light into the world, just like the Father said, let there be light. Let me prove it to you. The Apostle Paul says that the light of the glory of God would shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. And he is imitating the creation in his declaration that the same thing that the Father did in creation, the Son does in redemption, he brings light. Whew. And everything grows in light. I'm just fooling with you. I ain't got to you yet, but I'm coming. Everything grows in light. I don't care how healthy the plant is, if you put it in a closet, it's going to wither, because everything grows in light. Say that with me. Everything grows in light. Okay. So if I were the enemy, I would bring dark people into your life to try to neutralize the brilliancy of your light, to stop you from growing to your fullest potential. There are some things that can get a little bit of light and still grow, but for full capacity, you need bright light. Let there be light. I'll deal with the mud after I create the light. I'll deal with the air once I create the light. I'll deal with the seas once I create the light. But the first thing I need to straighten out this chaos is light. Help me to see, not with these, but with these. They led Paul away from Damascus blind, but enlightened. So he prays in Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what is his inheritance in the saints and what is his exceeding richness toward us who believe in Christ. He said, I want you to know it. I don't want you to be around something and not see it. How many times in your life have you said, how could I not see that? Betrayed or denied or belittled by somebody you trusted, and you wonder, how could I not see that? That's right in front of my face and I missed it. How can I not see that? Jesus came to display the glory of God, and we beheld the wonder of his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and, yeah. So Jesus came to reveal what was concealed in the Old Testament. Jesus came to be the light of the world. I am the light of the world, a city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Somebody holler light. Light. You don't know when you said light, you just called Jesus. If your kidneys are failing, touch them and say light. Light. If your lungs are failing, touch them and say light. Light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. When the word comes in, the light comes in, and the darkness has got to run for its life. If you've been dealing with depression, lay hands on your head and say light. Some people can't see what's right in front of them. There have been moments I haven't seen what was right in front of me. And then moments I was frustrated because I couldn't believe that I didn't see it. Some people can't see right in front of their own house can't see their own kids, can't see their own spouse. I listen to my mother tell people things we would never do that I had already done. Can we be real this morning? My children would never say something like that. And I had cussed Miss Page completely out. And I looked at her like, yeah, mommy. So this light has to be developed in us. So the presentation of Jesus does not fulfill the mission of creating light. So Jesus sets about doing miracles. And the miracles are done to enlighten us. Or they make no sense. Why waste time healing people who are gonna die anyway? If you're an eternal God and you believe in eternal life, then you don't cling to physical life with the same fierceness that we do because we haven't seen anything else. But if you know that time is just a sliver in the pie of eternity, why would I struggle to heal you so you can die again? Think about it. I'm just asking a question. Why did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead when he died again? Is he not just displaying power? Power so that unbelievers can believe? This sickness, let me quote him, this sickness is not unto death, but for the... Yeah. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And that's why I didn't heal him, because I need him to die so I can show off how powerful I am. And if I tell you what, Lazarus, if you die for me, so Lazarus died to create a platform of impossibility so that when Jesus got there, he could say, roll a stone away, Lazarus come forth. And suddenly they believed on Jesus because he's brought light into a dark place. Most of the miracles Jesus did were absolutely amazing, though, for temporal people who needed it. The woman with the issue of blood, untouched for 12 long years, unloved, unable to be held by her husband, her friends, her companions, no touch, no welcoming. She was unclean according to the Levitical laws and therefore untouchable. She is the scarlet letter on her head, like the scarlet letter in the story, that her scarlet letter isn't a letter on her head, but a bleeding from her womb. The loneliness must be just as traumatic as the physical condition itself. There is no comfort, there is no healing, and every doctor who tried to heal her had failed, and she has also become depleted financially. So she is hemorrhaging blood, she is hemorrhaging relationships, and she is hemorrhaging finances, and one touch. They didn't hear me, Dr. Nita. One touch. No, it wasn't that Jesus touched her. It was that she touched him. You got to stop sitting in church with your legs crossed, waiting on Jesus to touch you, and get radical enough that you go for it and touch him, because one touch can stop everything that's leaking out of your life. your business, your company, your health, your relationships. One touch from Jesus can break generational curses and turn your life around. One touch for Jesus, and you still gonna have your legs crossed and sit back and be wonderful when I'm teaching you that one touch from Jesus could change your life if you touch him. Somebody touch me. Somebody touch me. A lot of people brushed up against me, but somebody touched me. Jesus is walking up and down the aisles and the corridors of this church waiting on somebody to touch him. Can I hear some glory in this place?